Hello, and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, Go AU Fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
Hey, hey.
And Steve, Zips of Akron.
Season's over.
That is a lot less cheerful than U Street's Hey Y'all. So I'm going to ask you to work on that before the next time you have to, you know, bat cleanup in this format there, Steve.
Well, we'll see what happens.
All right, so, yeah, men's basketball team, chokerific yet again. I'm just going to turn it over. Steve, you go first. Rant away, friend.
Well, at the very least, we can take solace in the fact that the Gophers are the highest. Let's see, no, take that back. They're the only sub-500 team in the KenPom Top 50.
What's our KenPom luck? What's our KenPom luck rating?
345. So.
And what's the full list of D1 teams?
There are 353 Division I teams, and the Gophers, according to KenPom, are the 344th luckiest. Which, if you watched the game last night, you can probably see why. Although part of that wasn't luck; that was just ineptitude at the free throw line. But everyone side by side, they are almost the unluckiest team in the entire country, which I think is really, really funny and also horrifying.
Yeah. And, you know, as you noted, like that'll get you through. That'll explain a little bit of something. Like that maybe explains the DePaul game.
Right.
It doesn't explain this nonsense.
No, but yep. They that was a deflating loss, basically sealed the season for the Gophers, a 17-point lead that they gave up, including an 8-point lead in the final 2 minutes. I would like to say that I saw it coming, but I was actually very optimistic at halftime. Like, wow, they look like they're competent and they're going to beat Maryland and maybe they're just going to pull this thing off. But it was just another second half fade. They've been doing that a lot lately. It's their third straight home loss, that they've given up a very winnable game in the final minutes. And this appears to be that team's MO this year. And if I can quote The Big Lebowski, one of my favorite movies, they killed the effing season. Finally, it's over. They've been struggling for a while. They've now dropped 4 of the last 5. And the thing's been on life support for a while. They tried to revive it against Northwestern, but I think there's not much they can do short of winning the Big Ten tournament and getting the automatic conference bid to get into the NCAA tournament at this point.
Andy, what you got, man? Are you angry, sad, resigned, apathetic? Andy, are you on mute? We do not have Andy. Is he in the Skype right now? And 6 computer restarts later, we have Andy. Andy, just how are you feeling after that spectacular Minnesota loss?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking in the short term, angry. I mean, that last night is a game that you can't lose if you want to pretend that you're an NCAA tournament team, which we're finding more and more that they definitely aren't. You know, not quite apathetic, because I still care. I care enough to be mad about last night, but it's just really frustrating watching this team down the stretch. You know, they've got 3 home games they've blown in the last 2 weeks that they should have won legitimately. Well, probably all 3, but at least 2 out of the 3. You know, they're getting decent play from Oturu still, but it faltering down the stretch, whether it be, you know, missed free throws last night or the inability to break the press against Iowa or, you know, it's just frustrating. You know, it'll be interesting to see going forward what Mark Coyle's plans are, what Richard Pitino's plans are, because, you know, it's fairly obvious now, unless the Gophers go on an epic run in the Big Ten tournament, that, their postseason dreams might be completely over. If they don't hold serve here the last few games and get to above 500, they're not qualified for the NIT either. So,
I would love that they could be a top 50 KenPom team, but not be able to qualify for the NIT.
Yeah. So, You know, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here. I mean, you've got two road games that arguably you could win if you play well enough, but there's no guarantee you're going to do that. And then, so I mean, it may come to the point that forget the NCAA tournament, they might need to win two games in the Big Ten tournament just to make the NIT tournament.
That's not what we were hoping for. I mean, seriously, there was a period, I don't know, back when we beat Ohio State that, I don't know, it just felt like the team was probably going to the tournament. Like, they were going to be bubblicious the whole way, but I don't know, I just kind of felt like they'd make it. They'd back in, probably lose the first game, unless they got a really nice matchup as a high seed. And, you know, we'd move on with Patino into another season where if Oturo comes back, they could be pretty good. And if he goes to the NBA, they'll be complete, hot, fiery garbage. But now we're in a position where, you know, certainly there's a lot of talk about whether we fire Patino. So coming right back to you, Andy, should the Gophers fire Richard Patino?
I am of the theory that if Mark Coyle can identify his guy, because, you know, we were even talking about this about our Slack chat, that he's been pretty good so far, and when he has to find a new coach, going out and getting somebody he wants, and they've been relatively successful. PJ Fleck, you know, Bob Motzko got off to a bit of a slow start, but all of a sudden now the teams are running. Jamie Traxel with the softball team has been a good hire. So if Mark Coyle can identify the guy he wants and can lure him to Minnesota, I think you got to think about making a change. You got to let the AD get his own guy and do things that he wants with his own people. Now, I don't think we make a change just to make a change. If Coyle has his top two guys and they're not going to come to Minnesota, or they're not interested, then I don't think you try and force something that might end up being worse 2 years down the line than you have now. But if Coyle figures out who he wants and can get him, I think you do it.
So basically what I'm hearing from you is don't pull a Teague where he seems so intent on moving on from Tubby Smith at the expense of all else that when he didn't really for sure have, well, I think Shaka was one of the swings and misses that go around. When you didn't have exactly who he was looking for lined up, you end up going, you know, six guys in, not that many because some of that was just, you know, stupid Twin Cities media. But you go multiple guys in and you end up, you know, with Richard Pitino, who was not a overwhelming hire at the time and has proven to be a mixed bag. Amazing Twitter game. I'll be sad to lose him on the Twitters if he moves on. But Steve, I mean, are you with Andy on this, or are you keep Patino for another year or fire him? Like, where are you coming down?
I mean, I've been torn for a while. I mean, it's frustrating because over his tenure, you've seen some peaks when he has all his pieces together, and much like Tubby Smith, he hasn't been playing with it with a full deck the entire time either. So I'm sympathetic to that. I'm sympathetic to the idea that if he doesn't get, if we all don't get surprised that Amir Coffey has such a great season that he goes pro, that this is probably an Elite Eight type team, which doesn't count for nothing. Did we expect Daniel Otero to have such a gigantic leap this year? No. Clearly guys are getting coached up. Yes, there's a couple guys that are plateaued, but you can't argue with some of the results and him sending some guys to the NBA. It's a tough one. He's got the ammo this year to win some games. I mean, this is you don't win seven games in this conference by accident. You don't sweep Ohio State and beat Michigan and a Penn State team this year by accident, or Wisconsin. But it's also really frustrating to see another putrid February where they're just throwing away the season. I just ran some quick numbers, and granted, this includes the Reggie Lynch horrifying season where basically the season just fell apart. But this is now the third year in a row where February has been complete tire fire. They're 4-16 in February the last 3 years, and that's just not going to cut it. But again, I'm also sympathetic to him not playing with a full deck. I'm of the mind right now, after 24 hours or 24 hours later after the Maryland loss, where I was like, boy, this is probably the end. If you, and maybe these things won't happen consecutively, but if he is able to coach a team next year with another year of Daniel Oturu, another year of growth for Marcus Carr, some more, you know, more minutes for Trey Williams and Gabe Callister in the supporting cast, I mean, this, you're looking at a pretty good team next year, regardless. Oturu goes to the NBA, yeah, we're talking about a much different squad. But I almost feel like you owe it to the guy to run out another squad of his own players to see if he can get it done, especially if you're on the fence, you're on the bubble, the wrong side of the bubble, but you're still on the bubble nonetheless. This wasn't like a terrible season. Starting over from scratch is very difficult. It takes a long time. We're now 7 years in to the Patino era. And like Andy said, if you have your guy that you're going to bring in, great. If you have a plan, great. If we're just going to toss him to the side and hope for the best, I don't agree with that either. I don't think we're in a position where we're automatically saying, yes, we need to have a coaching change necessarily. I think there's an argument to be made on both sides, but I definitely do agree with Andy. If you got a guy in your mind, if Coyle's got a guy that he wants to bring in, let's do it. If we're just going for status quo, I don't think that's the end of the world either.
If you were Coyle and we're saying you got to have a top two, that if you landed either of the top two, it's an automatic pull the trigger, let Richard go. Do you have a top two like that?
You know, I don't have as good of a pulse on open coaches or guys who would be promoted or even have their contracts available that way. I don't even know if a Beeline type is interested in coming to a Minnesota. I can't imagine. I would imagine it's on his radar coming back to the Big Ten. A Beeline type hire is something that would raise my eyebrows enough to be like, yeah, let's get him in. I don't think you go with the mid-major coach looking for his next shot, because that's what we just went through. Especially if you're with a Patino who's, you know, he's had some good seasons and he's done a good job when he has a full deck. I don't think that's something that we need to, that we should be shying away from or pretending like they didn't happen, because, well, keep in mind, again, there are a couple seasons there where he had some pretty awful extenuating circumstances that derailed some very, very promising seasons with really, really good players. I don't think we shouldn't be punishing Richard Pitino for developing his players into NBA talent either. I don't think that's fair.
But the one thing you're forgetting, you know, if we're talking about hiring the next mid-major riser, Craig Smith, the coach of Utah State, he's one of us. He's one of us. He was born and raised in Stephen, way out in west central Minnesota, went to North Dakota. So, you know, you got to take it into consideration, right? Right? Right?
God, one of us. All right, so you've got your one of us pick, Andy. Who would your other... No, I'm seriously. Same question. If you had two guys, two sure shots in your thought process as an AD, who would you pick?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's tough. I also haven't done the deep dive. I mean, if you can get...
Basically Beeline, sure.
Beeline, if you can get a coach is, but, you know, and I don't know whether it's overblown or what, but I did see somebody argue that, you know, even for the whole controversy why he's left Cleveland with the whole thing where he said thugs but didn't say thugs and anything like that, you know, somebody thought, well, that might now hurt recruiting college players, and I have no idea whether that is or isn't, but it's something that I'm sure whoever hires him is actually going to have to, you know, talk about, which is something that doesn't seem possible 18 months ago. You know, I guess the other name that just automatically jumps out would be Anthony Grant for what he's done with Dayton. I mean, the fact that Dayton has been a top five team all year. Problem is he's a Dayton alum, I believe. So good luck prying him away there. And you know, it's as Steve was talking earlier, it's always dangerous to go for the really hot, holy crap, all of a sudden, wow, that was a great year type, because you have no idea if it was a flash in the pan year, if it actually can be projected year after year. So I guess my short answer is I don't necessarily have a top two names, but I hope Mark Coyle does, and I'm pretty sure he's looking into whatever possibilities he may want to look into here coming up in the next couple of weeks.
One word answer time. Do the Gophers find a way to bubble their way into the NCAA tournament? Andy?
No.
Steve?
No. And I say that because I don't think mathematically they can make it happen. Just with three games left, one of those against Nebraska. And with a few bubble teams winning yesterday, I believe that pushed them further down. Because keep in mind, if they do finish out the season on the three-game winning streak, they are going to finish 10-10, which if you would have asked me in early mid-January if 10-10 was going to get them into the tournament, I probably would have said yes. But now with this late-season swoon and just looking like they don't have it together, I don't even think finishing the season on a three-game winning streak would do it for them.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
That was like 212 words.
What can I say? Brevity is the essence of wit.
Okay, well, let's go to hockey, because hockey, as Andy alluded to with his Motzko comment earlier, has been on really kind of a pretty huge tear. So, Andy, let's do a quick recap of Penn State and just kind of how it sets up the rest of the season for the Gophers.
Yeah, we're trading one bubble team in for another bubble team. last week, as you said, the Gopher hockey team has had an outstanding second half of the season. Unfortunately, that sort of ended against what apparently is their nemesis at the moment, Penn State. The Gophers went into Unhappy Valley. And they did force overtime on Friday night, picked up the one conference point, which was big, but Penn State would get the extra point in double OT. And then on Saturday, unfortunately, the Gophers blew a 2-1 third period lead. Penn State scored two goals in 31 seconds and would go on to win 3-2. So the Nittany Lions took 5 points from the Gophers last weekend, which sent Minnesota from basically controlling its own destiny to it can still kind of control its own destiny in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament, but it probably needs a little bit of help to make sure that things go smoothly.
All right, talk to me about what that means.
All right, so basically Penn State has a 4-point lead in the Big Ten standings on Minnesota and Ohio State. Penn State is done. They finished their regular season last weekend against the Gophers, so they are idle. So what Minnesota and Ohio State needs to do is they need to record at least 5 points this weekend, because Penn State holds the tiebreaker at least against Minnesota, and I think they may against Ohio State as well. So that means with the Gophers hosting Michigan for the final series of the regular season this weekend, it's going to take at absolute bare minimum, if they want to win the conference, it's going to take a win and a OT or shootout win. Obviously, at that point, it'd be better just to get a sweep of the Wolverines. Basically, the scenarios are this. You know, with Penn State up four, if the Gophers want to win the Big Ten, they'd have to earn 5 points or more, and they have to earn at least 1 point more than Ohio State, because Ohio State holds the tiebreakers against the Gophers, which is regulation Big Ten wins. Ohio State is hosting Wisconsin this weekend. So, yes, the Gophers have to root for the Badgers to try and help them out again after helping them a couple weeks ago against Penn State. You know, if they want to finish in second, basically the only way the Gophers can really finish in second, I guess they could finish in second to Penn State if Ohio State stinks up the weekend. But the Buckeyes, more likely the Gophers and Buckeyes end up with the same amount of points. Ohio State finishes first, gets the tiebreaker, the Gophers finish in second. And it goes down from there. I'm going to write this all in a post that will be on the blog on Friday. But basically, Minnesota needs to come out against Michigan this weekend and at bare minimum take 5 points from the Wolverines if they want to have any chance to win the Big Ten. If they want to make sure they lock in at least home ice for the first round, they probably need to get at least 4 points on the weekend.
So, you know, they have to take, you know, at least one win and some additional points, obviously, for anything good to, you know, to feel really good coming out of this weekend, or even kind of good coming out of this weekend. How likely is that against Michigan?
You know, it honestly will depend on the Gophers' play. Minnesota won and tied against Michigan in Ann Arbor earlier in the year when Minnesota wasn't playing very well. And the Gophers have played well at home. the Wolverines are coming off of a series where they stunk up the place, to be perfectly honest. They got swept by Notre Dame at home on their senior weekend. So it's going to be a pissed off Wolverine team, because Michigan is also coming in realizing that they need to take some points off the weekend, or there's a very good chance they're going to be starting on the road in the Big Ten tournament next weekend. So it will be an all-out dogfight between these two teams. The key is going to be goaltending for the Gophers. Jack LaFontaine was pretty good last weekend against Penn State. You know, the Gophers struggled a little bit to score, but that's not surprising. Penn State's offense sort of hogs the puck so much that it's tough to do. But they're going to have to come out, put the puck in the net, and keep the Wolverines off the board. Like I said, it's going to be, there's basically five teams fighting for legitimately five spots in the conference this weekend. With Penn State idle, Michigan State plays Notre Dame, and the Gophers obviously play Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the only team that's guaranteed to finish in last, so they're just trying to be a spoiler for the Buckeyes. Any of the other six teams, five teams in action in Penn State, could finish anywhere from one through sixth place this weekend, depending upon what happens. So, you know, the Gophers got to show up, and they got to try and get at least, you know, worst case scenario, try and get a home best of three series in the Big Ten first round next weekend. The other thing playing of this, as we said, you know, sitting on the NCAA tournament bubble, the Gophers currently, if you take all the tiebreakers in place, are sitting at number 14 in the pairwise rankings. If the tournament were held right now, the Gophers would be in. All the conference teams, there's only one conference team that's would be conference winner, auto bid winner, that would be out of the top 16. So as of right now, the Gophers would be in the NCAA tournament if it was being held today. But a loss can set them back, or, you know, you got to worry about, even if you come into the tournament bubble at sitting at 14, you're praying for no upsets in the conference tournament, because as Minnesota knows very well, they were sitting at 12 2 years ago and didn't get in. So you're hoping that if the Gophers can inch the way up the bubble, you're just hoping for chalk across the board come the conference tournaments here in the next couple of weeks.
All right, turning our attention to the women quickly, I believe you have some negative emotions to share about the UMD Bulldogs.
Yeah, if anybody was following our Twitter feed last Sunday, so the Gophers went into the final weekend of the regular season playing Mankato State, who they literally have not lost to since 2010. They did not again last weekend, picking up an easy sweep. Wisconsin finished the regular season at Minnesota Duluth, and they had a three-point lead heading into the weekend, meaning that if there was a three-point differential, the Gophers and Badgers would tie for the WCHA regular season title, so Minnesota would get a chance to hang a banner. The Buckeyes picked up the win in the first game, picked up a win, guaranteeing a clinch. So all they had to do is get 1 point on Sunday. Well, UMD decided to play the period of their lives for about 18 and a half minutes and scored three goals in the third period to take a 5-3 lead on Wisconsin with a minute and a half left in the game. Before Maddie Rooney, on the two-year anniversary of her shutting the Canadians down in a shootout to win the gold medal for the U.S. women's hockey team, gave up two goals to the Badgers in regulation in the last 90 seconds, and then another goal in the two-on-two overtime to allow Wisconsin gain 2 points, win the WCHA outright, and lose Minnesota a banner. So, yeah, little annoyed at UMD for not allowing Minnesota to be able to hang at least one banner next fall.
How do things look for the Gophers in the WCHA tournament?
So the women are locked into the number two seed. They were, no matter what happened, unless they had won the conference outright last weekend. They will host St. Cloud State this weekend in a best of three. It should not be too much trouble for Minnesota. I think, as I said, the Gophers hadn't lost to Mankato since 2010. I think Minnesota's lost to St. Cloud once since 2010. So, it should be a pretty easy weekend for Minnesota. They most likely then will face the number three seed in the WCHA semifinals a week from now, which is Ohio State, which is the team, other than Wisconsin, that has really been a thorn in the side of the Gophers. And this is where things will get interesting. We can talk about this a week or two from now, but Minnesota may be playing that game to try and make sure they get a more favorable opponent. Otherwise, they may be seeing Ohio State come back to Ritter for a potential NCAA quarterfinal game. And I think literally other than Wisconsin, which the seeding won't work out, they'll work that way. Ohio State is the least popular team, if you polled anybody in that locker room, that the Gophers would love to see in a one-and-done game. Because for whatever reason, the Buckeyes have their number. So hopefully the Gophers can take care of business, and we'll be talking more about probably the semifinal matchup against Ohio State next week.
I pondered asking you what would happen in any of the men's basketball games this week to end on a more footballish, preview prediction thing, but we're not going to do that. I've decided. Okay, well, we're going to find out pretty soon probably if we're getting a new head basketball coach. That's really what it comes down to. But in the meantime, go Gophers. Sky Yuma. Row the boat.